Good morning.
Good morning.
As you can see on the board, we're going to talk about our personal walk in life with the Lord. We're going to talk about daily discipleship this morning. You know, it occurs to me that a lot of people have a wrong idea about religion. They think that religion is about living however you want, and then they come to church on a Sunday, and then, you know, they're good to go again because they went to church. But that's not how Christ presented it to us, because he tells us that religion is daily. Our service to God is daily. Our service to one another is daily. Our calling is a calling of righteousness. And it should be a joyous calling, because we're called and allowed to suffer. You know, a lot of times people, when they get to suffering, and when they get to trials, and when they get to temptations, they get discouraged. And they feel that there's a problem. And then they know what the problem is. It's because when we get discouraged and the devil's got a hold of us, we finally figured out that the problem is because we have weakness of the flesh or weakness of the mind or lack of faith, we have problems in life. And we're tried. Because the testing of our faith is what shows our faith. It shows who we are. Because if we crumble under the tests of life, then we put our faith in the wrong things. But if we put our faith in Christ, then all these trials will work to our benefit. Because a trial will strengthen us. Now, we don't like them necessarily. We don't like them because we don't enjoy them, because they're a pressure on us. They're a trial. But they are to make the Christian character stronger. Because if we're following Christ, we'll understand that Christ came here for a specific purpose. And he said, many times, my hour is not yet. But then when his hour was come, what did he do? He went to that cross. He didn't shrink back. He didn't fear. He said, here I am, come take me. And he went and he did that because he loved us. Now again, it's not the hugging, affectionate type of love we're talking about here. We're talking about a love that cared for my soul and your soul to the extent that he was willing not only to live a life of sacrifice, but then to ultimately place himself on that sacrificial cross that he might nail our sins to that cross, wash away our sins. If you sinned last week, and I know you did because we all do somewhat, it was already paid for. Now our intent is not to sin. Our intent is to serve. Our intent is to follow. But we got to realize that that is an individual voluntary choice. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Because it's a voluntary thing. If you don't want to follow Christ, if you're making excuses, well, I can't follow him because I got this going on in my life, or because of this, whatever, well, then you have problems. Welcome to the club. But you have to bend yourself to God, because God's not going to bend himself to you. God created us. And he knew who we were. See, this is what helped me, is when I finally realized that God created me and he knew I was going to be a scoundrel anyhow. Right? And then he also put in place everything I needed to bring me to Christ. And he's done that for every man. And I want you to know that. The Bible teaches us that invitation has gone out to every man. The blood has been shed for every man. It's to those that accept it that get the end result of salvation. You know, a lot of people can know about Christ and not accept it. A lot of people can know about Christ and not want to be a disciple. A lot of people can know about the Lord and His name and all of those things, but yet they choose not to follow. Because it's difficult. When we make a Christian decision, and you know what I'm talking about here, when we make a decision based on faith, based on our Christian faith, it's not always the easiest decision. Almost every time it's the more difficult decision, is it not? I mean, it is for me. Maybe you don't have that. But for me, usually when I'm making the moral decision, the righteous decision, let's put it that way, I have to realize that I'm going to go down a different road. And that road is paved by my Savior. Because when I make those harder choices, when I make the suffering choice, I'll say it that way, when I make the heart-wrenching choice, when I make the right choice, and it's out of faith, then I'm walking. I'm a son. I'm an heir. I'm still a human. I'm still a scoundrel. But I'm walking. And I'm trying. And we're progressing. Because that's the way the Lord made the whole thing. Is that we're growing and progressing. You're not going to... A person doesn't accept the salvation of Christ, get baptized, and the next day walks a perfect life. It just doesn't happen that way. We repent of sin, that's true. But we've had a whole lifetime of influence, because it's all about influence, is it not? We're going to read here in a moment about self-influence, about influence of Christ into yourself, and who you want to follow. Because we make a choice daily. And the choice is, am I going to follow my own wishes, my own desires, my own thoughts, and my own prerogatives? I mean, after all, I live in America. And I'm number one, right? Am I going to follow all my stuff, or will I surrender myself to the Lord? Because that is the key question. Will I surrender to God, or will I rule my own life, so to speak? So let's take a look at the first text up there and see this principle of self-denial and discipleship. Because we've got to see this self-denial thing. You know, every culture, and I want to say this, every culture is welcomed by God. Do you realize that? We're meeting over here in America. We have nice clothes on. We need in a building. And we've got air conditioning. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. We could be meeting out in the field, you know. People do that. It's a spiritual kingdom. And He's trying to tell us that. Because you see, you got to understand, He's already made the physical world, and He's already blessed the physical world with sunshine, rain, goods, money, transportation, gas, communication, anything else you want to think of, and all the gold you can think of. He's already blessed the world carnally or physically like that. But you and I don't want to partake necessarily of that, although we need some of those things like food, shelter, and clothing. We want to participate and take of the spiritual nature of God, where He calls us to a higher calling, a righteousness, to follow Christ, who was our prime example. Let's read the text. Verse Luke 9:23 and following. And He said unto all. Now I want you to see there. He's talking to everybody, you and me included. So you just picture yourself there in that crowd that day. And He said unto all, if any man. Now you've got to see yourself in this picture. If any man. That is a universal invitation. And before we go any further in this verse, look at the first word. It says if. If. There's a lot of people out there in the world that don't answer this question in the positive. If any man would follow him. So you've got to decide as a voluntary person of your own volition. Will you follow Jesus? I mean, it's a voluntary thing. You don't have to be here this morning. You came on your own volition. Because you're interested in that if. He says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Now, and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Well, that sounds like self-denial to me, folks. And we have a hard time with self-denial because in our culture, we're taught just the opposite. We're taught self-affirmation, affirmation. You're good. You're swell. We're taught to say them things. And it's not bad necessarily. When I get up in the morning, I have to do a couple of affirmations so I get out there and do my work. Right? We do good things. But in Christ, it's not about the affirmation. It's about the heart. It's about if we decide that we're going to follow Christ, then with first thing we got to realize, first thing on the list here is deny self. And we have a problem with denying ourselves. And I'm not really talking to you. Right? Discernment's to me. Discernment's to all of us. Because self-denial will allow us to do what? It will allow us to surrender to God. To be second to God. You know, when Christ came here, he denied himself. He pleased the Father. He didn't live in luxury. He didn't come down here and make a bunch of money. He didn't come down here and show off. You know, all the miracles are non-deniable when you start to study them. And not a one of them was self-promotion. Do you understand that? Not self-promotion like what we do today in our society when we do sales. It is not self-promotion. He was telling us the facts of the matter. When he said, "If no man, you don't get to the Father except you come by me." Well, how can we come by him? Well, the only reason is because he's the one who shed his blood to where I can live blameless before God. Now, we just talked about we had sin last week. And I've seen a couple of people nod beside themselves, you see. But God is not excusing sin. He's excusing the violator. Because my heart is endeared towards God. My heart is not geared towards the world, and yours isn't either, or else you wouldn't be here this morning. Right? It's a voluntary act we do. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Well, see, there's more actions here. Because, you see, you've got to decide whether if you're going to follow him, and then if you do, you've got to deny yourself, and then if you deny yourself, then you've got to take up that cross. What cross are we talking about? The daily cross of discipleship. Of following Christ and suffering with him. Not the way he did exactly, but in our moral decisions. Because we're not morally like the world, we're morally like Christ. We want to be a follower. Now, being a follower means you've got to look a little bit where the footsteps are going. You've got to see where Jesus is going. Where'd he go? Self-sacrifice. That's where he went. His whole life was self-sacrifice. The sacrifice on the cross was self-sacrifice. But he did it in purity. We don't even qualify to be the sacrifice. That's why we have to learn to follow him. Because he is our righteousness. He is our covering. I have nothing else to give on that day. I mean, think about it. I heard a beautiful sermon up in Quincy a couple weeks ago. It was just great about how we don't know how long life is, you know? Because death comes unexpectedly. I'd like to preach the sermon today. I don't want to do it today, but it's a good one. But think about it. If we were all to die right now, let's say an airplane engine landed on this building, and we all ended up in heaven, and say in the next 3.5 minutes, 3 minutes, it's ticking. What are you going to offer God? What are you going to say? I did something down here. No. We're not going to be able to do that. Because, you see, we didn't do anything that he didn't already give us. See, when Job had a problem with God, God asked him, where were you when I made the world? And he would ask us the same question. The only thing we can offer is obedience, faithfulness, Christ. Because on that day, I won't be able to say, here's the works that I did. Because like if you really count all the works out, how much is righteous versus unrighteous? You know what I mean, like 3%? I don't know. You guys probably have like 70%. But you see what I'm saying? You got nothing to offer him. Except for Christ offered everything. In our behalf. So we have a present waiting for us, a gift of salvation waiting for us. We already have it now. Don't get me wrong. You understand when you come into Christ, you have salvation today. And he calls us from the sin of this world physically, spiritually, and eternally. But think about it. Because of our faith, we're not over there in the different things that the world participates in. Rioting, different things. And so we're not subject to those things. We're subject to God. And as being subject to God, we deny ourselves. We take up our cross of faith every day. And that means when I make my decisions in life, it's based on pleasing the Father. Through the Son, that I might be a son, that I might be able to walk in that sunshine, that I might be able to walk in the light, that I might be able to take and participate in the righteousness that Christ offers me daily, through my allegiance to him. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. And here's the other part of it. And follow me. Follow me. Well, wait a minute. I don't even see him. Where's he at? I mean, how am I going to follow him? Oh, he's not talking about in the physical sense. He's talking about following him in the spiritual sense. He died a couple thousand years ago and arose. And ascended into heaven. Our faith is based upon that thing. Now our following him is not going over to Israel. Is not going up to the mountain. Not being crucified on a cross. He did that in our behalf. Our following now is spiritual nature. Because we always have the choice of what the world is trying to influence us with. And what God is trying to influence us with in his call. And when we're trying to be daily disciples, it's a daily thing. It's not on Sunday. We get together on Sunday. Right? But we worship God daily. Right? We pray daily. We walk in the light daily. We read scripture daily. We live a Christian life daily. We're a daily disciple. We're every morning, every night. Now, do we have things we need to do in this world? Sure. I got a job to do. You got a job to do. I got people to take care of. You know. We have all those things. But in all of those things, Christ permeates everything we do. Because he comes first. Not me. And follow me, verse 24, for whosoever would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake. It's not just losing your life for anything. It's for my sake. We've got to understand who bought us, like he was saying. And by the way, Michael, them songs were superb this morning.
Wherever you're at.
Them songs were superb this morning. You picked great songs this morning. Because they spoke of our faith. They spoke of what God has done for us. They spoke of where we reside in the kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom, folks. It's not about that you have money in this world, you have fame or prestige in this world, because those aren't the kind of people that are called. They don't listen to that calling because they're too smart for it. You see. They think too much of themselves. They couldn't deny themselves if they wanted to. Because why? It takes practice, doesn't it? It takes thought. It takes meditation. It takes considering God's word before I can even start to deny myself and follow him. For whosoever, verse 24, would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. See, there's a reason that we're living for his sake. You're not just sacrificing out here to be a monk or to sacrifice just to show how good you are. You're making those decisions for his sake. Because you love what he did. You appreciate what he did. And you want to follow in his sufferings. And his sufferings were given to him because he was moral. Remember in John, we've been studying, when they found out that he had really raised Lazarus from the dead, they knew the exact truth. And they tried to not only kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus too. And they knew the truth. And that's how sin is. They can know the truth and hate it. We know the truth and love it. I do. I couldn't come up with the truth that God does. I couldn't bless my life like God does. Tell me. You know, there's some of you guys are gooder than me. But I'd curse my life if God didn't save it. Not everybody's like that, I got that. But think about the saving grace that he keeps us from in this world today. I didn't go to the bar last night and get a hangover, did you? No, because we're here this morning. We got better things to do. Might go camping, you know, there's a few things like that. We don't participate in that stuff out there because we want the righteousness of God. We want it in our lives, in everything that we do. And doing it for his sake. Not just for your sake. You know, you're not doing it to look good. You're not doing it to look good. I want you to think I'm a good person. I know that. But I want God to know that I'm doing the best that I can. Because your thoughts and opinions of me won't save me or condemn me. It's God that'll save or condemn me based upon my faith. And I want to enjoy it. And I know I talked about that. But you know what? I believe the Christian life is an enjoyable life. Even though we have suffering. Even though we have temptation. Even though we have trials. Because we have a vision of salvation. And we should hang on to that and see that. If you don't know your destination, you're just a lost wanderer. Think about it. You've got to have that vision of heaven, salvation, living with God, and being free from this world in your mind. Because you become what you think about. A bank robber doesn't become a bank robber overnight. He has to think about it for a while. Plan. Scheme it. Well, you don't become a Christian practicing that overnight either. You get exonerated overnight. When you get baptized, you're saved. Now there's a lifetime growing up in Christ, isn't there? That's what we do. For what if is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his own soul? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his own glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Turn with me to Luke 14, 27. I want to be the disciple of Christ. And I don't know how to do that. But he shares with me in his word how to do that. And so I have to go to his word so that I know how to live. Because if I make up my own rules, it's not going to do me any good. God's not going to recognize my own rules. If I make my own rules up, he's not going to recognize it. I can be really good. I can be morally good. I can do what's right. I can appear sinless in front of everybody. But if I'm making up my own rules, it doesn't do me a dime's worth of good. And that's what the denominational world doesn't realize. They don't realize when you vary apart from God's rules, you're doing your own thing. Verse 27 in Luke 14 says, "Whosoever doth not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." All right, so now he's telling me that I'm not bearing your cross, and you're not bearing my cross. I've got to bear my own cross to be a disciple. Well, what's my cross? Well, in my case, I have sin that I have to battle. Okay, that's part of my cross. Well, I have selfishness I have to battle because I'm an American, you know. That's another thing. That's part of my cross. Oh, well, I need to meet with the brethren a few times every week because that's what we decided to do. That's part of my cross. You know, and I need to behave myself out in the community because that's part of my cross bearing too. And so when I start to look at it, it does what? It permeates my life. Faith in God, in Christ. The morality and righteousness that he exhibits is denying myself and following after him. And guess what? If I put him first, he'll still feed me. If I put him first, he'll still clothe me. He said, look after the things of heaven first, and all these other things will be added unto you. We do it backwards. We think, oh, I got to go to work. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. You know? No, you don't. You're telling yourself that. Maybe society tells you that. But you don't. You can make a choice. For which of you desiring to build a tower? Now, I want you to look at that word there, desiring to build a tower. Now, we're talking about following Christ. You have to have that desire. And I want you to realize that when you're dealing with folks out in the world, you're going to run onto people that act like they want to be a Christian, but they got no desire to be one. And here's why. Because they just want a license for sin. They don't want to repent. They don't want to change the ways. They don't want to do anything different. They just want to have exoneration from their own sin. Well, we all do that. But they don't want any other part of Christianity. They just want that one piece of Christianity. Oh, give me a free ticket to paradise. No, I don't want to pay for it. No, I don't want to appreciate it. No, I don't want to be thankful. I don't want to read the word. No, I just want to take it to paradise. And that's the way the world is. But that's not the way it works. Because he wants our heart. It's not a ticket. It's a free gift of salvation when you come to him in faith.
For which of you desiring to build a tower doth not first set down and count the cost, whether he have wherewith to complete it? Lest haply, when he's laid a foundation, is not able to finish, all that behold began to mock him. This man began to build, was not able to finish. Or what kind of a king goeth to an encounter, a war, with another king in war, will not sit down first to take counsel? You see, here's the problem.
We don't take counsel with ourselves. We realize there's a cost of discipleship. Now, Merle has said before, it's not a cost, it's a benefit. That's true. But to the world, when they're coming this way, it's a cost because they have to leave some of those things behind. But we have to realize that there's a greater, far greater benefit than anything you leave behind. Because if you're leaving behind sin, it never benefited you anyhow. You just thought it. Because it's killing you. It's separating you from God. See, when you desire to be a disciple, then the things that come with discipleship, well, sometimes they're a hard pill to swallow, you know, self-denial, a few things like that. But guess what? When we see the riches of God's grace, those pills become easier to swallow. Pretty soon I don't want to serve myself because I know that I'll harm myself. But if I serve God, I know that He won't lead me into those things. He'll lead me out. He'll lead us into temptation. You know that, right? You know God doesn't lead you into temptation. It's by your own desires, your own problem. And see, that's why God's working with us. He's working with us to bring us out of our own mindset, you see. That's why He wants us to know that to come after Him, we got to have that too, the desire. The desire to come after Him. And we have to count it out. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Verses 22-25. Well, let's start at 21. From that time began Jesus to show unto His disciples, these people that were following. Now I want you to know, we're talking about discipleship. These guys are following Him. They're sharing in all of the stuff and seeing it. Now they left Him there before He was crucified. That's true. But on the whole, they've seen all the stuff. They were following Him. So Jesus showed unto His disciples that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. Well, this is the religion of the day. This is the Jewish religion hierarchy. This was the established religion of the day, and He's going to suffer many things of these people, see. And be killed, and the third day raised up. And Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee." But He turned unto him, and this is where we got to see. He turned unto Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men." We got to realize, are we minding the things of God or the things of men? Now I'm pointing to myself because, you see, it's with ourself that we have problems. My troubles aren't your troubles. Your troubles aren't my troubles. I have to surrender myself to God. I have to see myself as a servant. And you do too. It's voluntary, you see. And He told Peter, one that was following Him, "Get behind me, Satan. You're minding the things of men, not of God." We've got to watch ourselves to make sure that we're not out here standing in the way, killing Christ. That's a different sermon. I always bought that one this morning. Make sure that we're not standing in the way of progress, of what God wants, because we're carnally thinking. I mean, we're people. We're humans. We're going to carnally think. Peter carnally was thinking that day. He didn't see the overall picture. He didn't see the spiritual side of what Jesus had been telling them all along. Turn with me to John 12. And we're going to be down to verse 26. You know, Christ did a divine service when He came to earth. And He had His hour. His hour. You know, He kept saying, "His hour's not come." And then He said, "Finally, my hour's here. Glorify me, Father." Well, we're following Christ. We're following His example. You don't think you've got an hour? You don't think there's an hour for you? Now, it's not the same hour Christ was, but you know, you're going to have a trial of faith. Weekly, daily, but you're going to have, what's your hour? It's an hour of faith, not an hour that you're going to rise up and do great things. It's an hour of when you make a decision to follow God over everything else. That's what Jesus did. He made a decision. He's going to serve the Father, even if it meant his death on the cross. Because he loved us. And if we love him, we'll see that we have our duty back to him. In gratefulness, in thankfulness. We have an hour to serve too. And I mean by that hour, I mean the trials and temptations of life. And when we choose God over all yourself and over the world, then you're starting to walk down that road that God wants us to see. It's a spiritual highway, like you talked about this morning. Verse 26 says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, him will the Father honor. So how would we be there? Christ has already come and gone and raised into heaven. How do we do that? By our allegiance. Our God's a moral God. And the thing is this world is an immoral world. And this world wants to influence you to leave God because of the little dainties out here. But we've got to learn to see past that and see the spiritual thing that God's calling us to. The spiritual righteousness that he wants us to have in Christ. That spiritual highway, the righteous highway that he wants us to walk down daily. And enjoy the trials and enjoy the tribulations, knowing that our allegiance is to Christ and we're walking by faith.
Now is my troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour, but for this cause I came unto this hour. He was ready
to serve God and to serve us, to serve by going to the cross. I want that kind of faith. I want the faith that Jesus had. Oh, I'm never going to be asked to go to the cross. I probably would cower out if I really was going to be killed on the cross. But I want to have the faith that he had even unto death. Even unto the death. Because this world's got nothing to offer us. If we're challenged for our faith, be like the Lord. Don't deny it. Stand there and take it up. He took beatings and didn't deny. We can't hardly take an insult with I don't know. We got to realize what this world is to us. It's a trouble. We would pledge our allegiance to God and we could see the realities of life. That's what happens. A couple more scriptures. We'll be out of here. Okay. Romans 8:13. I had more to say, but we got to go through here. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. He tells us how it is. He tells me how it is. He tells you how it is. Now, it's up to me to accept it or reject it. Because you know what? He's not going to change for me. I don't like the way he says it. It doesn't matter. He's not going to change for me. I came after the fact. He created me. My opinion matters little. God's facts matter everything. Okay? So if I disagree with it, well, that's my problem. Right? You put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's what I want right there. I want to be led by that Spirit so that I can be the Son of God. Not in the same exact propensity in Christ was necessary, but I want to be a walking, talking, faithful son of God. I'm tired of being a son of the devil, you know. Right? Because we're one or the other. There is no gray area in the Bible. You know, you're either the son of God or the son of the devil. And I want to be a son of God. You want to be a daughter of God. We want to be sons and daughters of the Most High. So I want to be led by Him. For as many led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. We've got to understand this thing. I'm not throwing you out because you had a problem one day, or a few days, or a week, or a month, or a year. How many of these little babies are you going to throw out because they potted in their pants? I've only changed one kid, but I had to again the other day. Little bruiser. Never done any others, but I did him. I'm telling you what, we love them little guys, right? We don't throw them out, but you potted your pants, you're going to have to wait till your mama comes home. You're going to, outside. You don't do that. No, we take care of them. We take care of them. We don't throw them out. And God didn't throw you out because you have a problem. Because a lot of times, where's our problem? Right here. He's trying to win us over. He's trying to bring us back. He has paid for us. He's done everything. He's got a whole book full of love for your soul. If you let it. If you let it. You know? That's the whole thing. Okay. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. I'll hurry up real quick. I'm sorry. I get carried away. And, okay, here's the word if again. Notice I circled that. Here's the first word in Colossians 3:1. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised together with Christ. Oh my goodness. What do you mean if? If? What do you mean if? I mean, I can't take a chance on this. Right? So then I have to ask my question. Because the if here causes a question. He said, if then are you, if you're raised. So you got to think. Am I raised in Christ? Is that the kind of life that I'm living? Is that the kind of life I want to live? Is that what I aspire to? Well, let's read it again. If then you were raised together with Christ, then seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be made known, then you shall also be with him, be manifested in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members, which upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein ye also once walked when you lived in these things. You see, you decided not to live in those things anymore. You decided to live in Christ. So he says, put off these all things, because they work against you. They're the sin that God doesn't want to see in your life. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:12. I got this one and one more. I want us to see that we need to enjoy our Christian walk of life, but enjoy it not in the way that we would like recreation or anything like that out here in the world. Enjoy it, understanding that we are trying desperately to please God and to be a son and daughter of God. Look what it says here in this passage. It says, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You cannot make the moral decisions in Christ, living in this world, without suffering some persecutions. You're going to lose job opportunities. You're going to lose friends because of it. You're going to lose all kinds of things when you make the right choice, because people will disassociate with you because of their moral standards. They will. You want to do what's right, they want to do what's wrong. You stand for what's right, they stand for what's wrong. They go here, you go there. Pretty soon you guys aren't friends anymore. Unless they are converted. But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
But abide thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learnt them. See, that's why we need to study, so that we can be assured. When we don't read the Word of God, we're not assured. We have a weak faith. In fact, we don't have much of a faith because we don't even know where we're going. The Word of God gets planted in us to give us direction. And that from a babe thou hast known sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And here it is. Every scripture is inspired of God. It's also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. See, I want to be a complete man of God. I don't want to be a partial man of God. Think about that. He wants us to be complete, thoroughly furnished, completely furnished, completely supplied for every good work. One last verse, Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And here's where it's at, right here, folks. This is the punchline, if you will. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. That's how we overcome him. We appreciate the blood, we're grateful for the blood, and we walk. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life, even unto death. If you hold this world in a higher regard than you hold the Savior, you got a problem. Now, there's a lot of beautiful things in this world, a lot of cool things in this world. But Christ is the one that offers us more than this world ever will. And they overcame him by the blood. They didn't overcome him by their perfect works. They didn't overcome him by all of the stuff they did. They overcame him by the blood. Once you see that. Because as striving as you will, you still won't be perfect. That perfection is spiritual. We're striving for physical perfection, but it ain't ever going to happen. That's why we come to Christ. That's why we walk best we can in his righteousness. And that's why we appreciate the blood. If you're outside the body of Christ this morning, there's nothing we'd rather do than put you in through baptism. And if you're walking, if you're a Christian this morning, I hope this has helped you in some way. To see our calling, our great calling and righteousness in Christ. Let's stand as we sing our closing song.